I have...
You test on base?
You test on base.
You test on base, yeah. Okay. Interesting Gemara tonight. More or less the same as the Bavlis. I looked up the Bavlis. More or less the same as the Bavlis. These are your I'm a fat to somebody who seduces gives three things. Those are knas, but boshes. He gives knas. He does give knas. He doesn't give tsar. There's no tsar involved. Okay. So I'm a fat and I'm shlosh advarim bosh. What? Well, ripu. You're assuming there's no ripu in either case. That's why it's shlosh on our bar, but not our bar of chamish advarim. Because ripu is not part of the issue. I'm a fat and I'm shlosh advarim, which are the knas, the boshes and pgam. They go return back to the father here. V'ones arba, which includes also tsar. I'm a fat that noisin boshes pgam knas. Most of the love v'ones who noisin es tsar gives the tsar as well. I'm a fat that aidan noisin es tsar. The fat does not give tsar. Ones noisin miyad. The ones gives immediately because he gives it before the marriage. I'm a fat that shiotzi only if he divorces. Otherwise, he doesn't have to give the knas. Ones shote batitzo. The ones he has to drink in his cup, meaning even though it's repugnant, meaning he can never divorce her. If he wants to divorce, he may divorce. He's entitled to do so. Says Mord Lok Rabbi Shimon. This is not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Potter so ones min atzar. Rabbi Shimon, very very pragmatic man. He exempted an ones from tzar, from a payment of tzar as well. He says Lamaza Tome. What is this analogous to? L'chayte chebels chavero. Somebody cuts off his friend's wart. Anyway, it's going to come off. So I cut off a few days early. But she would have to lose her basulim eventually and have the tsar eventually when she got married anyway. So he says, I did you a favor. I took care of it now, right? What's it like? Somebody cuts down his friend's plantings. And anyway, they're going to be cut down later on, right? On Mulos, they said, nah, it's not comparable. Ain't a doma nivellus boides and nivellus barotzon. You can't compare somebody who was where she acquiesced to a case where she was compelled to do so. Lo doma nivellus barashba, furthermore, very interesting statement. It's not in the Bavli, these statements. Lo doma nivellus barashba is no comparison between somebody who was compelled to have relations in the city dump, and nivellus bachupa is somebody who actually went through, you know, chup and kiddushin before it. Rabbi Shimon Tachas Asher Ina. Indeed, what does Rabbi Shimon do with the fact that it says in Pasuk it's because he tortured her? So it sounds like there's torture involved in Ones, right? So what does he do with that concept of torture? Rabbi Shimon Chisa said the name of Chisa Tipater. Let's explain that. When it happened, when he raped her in a place where it was particularly unpleasant. In other words, they were out in some conditions which added on to the tsar. So that tsar, even Rabbi Shimon agrees. So it's the tsar peripheral, which was unnecessary, that you have to pay. But the tsar, which is inherent in losing the psulim, that he doesn't have to pay for, that's a machlokas between him and Rabbana. Okay? V'amafata kshiyotzi. The mafata pays when he divorces. When is that? Rav Chista, where Chista said it's not necessarily if he divorces. Now, do you remember Rav Chista appearing in the Yerushalmi before?
Actually,
not even mentioned. No, I don't remember him appearing. Not only do I remember Rav Chista appearing, but next page on Chafim Beis, we are actually going to see Rava.
We had Rava.
We had Rava, yeah. Where they didn't change it.
The name Rava appears in the text.
Yeah, no, we had Rava, but they've changed it mostly. But here nobody changes Rava name Rav Chista. So I don't know how it got in here. I really don't remember having Rav Chista before. So,
Rav Chuna was his contemporary.
Yeah, but there's Rav Chuna. In the Baal Yushan, it's Rav Chuna. It's not Rav Chuna. It's not the same Rav Chuna necessarily as Bavel. Is Rav Chuna in Eretz Yisrael? I think maybe you're right. Maybe the real Rav Chuna does get in a couple of times too, But I don't remember ever seeing a chista before. It's an mafat. It doesn't mean he divorces her. It means if he doesn't want to marry her now, also, right? The mafata has the option. He doesn't have to marry her. An ones must marry. Mafata need not marry. But then he has to pay the fine. So it's either the fine or the marriage. The ones, it's both the fine and the marriage, right? So again, I'm Rav Chisda b'shlo ratzol l'kayim, avim ratzol l'kayim, but if he wants to stay, wants to marry her, ain't a noisy klum, he doesn't have to pay. Tani Rabbi Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Kesev yishkol k'mar ha-psulos. It says that the father gets money like the mohar, which is obviously a term which is similar, analogous, but not precisely the same as k'suva. Magid shuosa osan olav mohar. It means that the mefata makes upon himself his knas like a mohar, meaning like a k'suva. Then mohar el k'suva. Moar prefers to k'suva. Like it says, Harbu alai mod mohar maton. Shechem ben Chamor, when he wanted to marry Dina, said to Yaakov and his kids, whatever mohar you ask me to give, I'll give. So we see here that the kesef, which a mefat is supposed to pay, becomes a k'suva. And this really is the makor of k'suva in the Torah. I mean, even though the k'suva is not the raisa, but we see here an allusion to the concept of k'suva. Because here the mefate, his knas, he doesn't pay right away, but rather he makes it, if he marries her, the ksuva for later on. Which is an interesting thing, and it's going to have a practical ramification now. And maybe even the Yerushalmi holds ksuva is deraisa. The truth is, I didn't look into when I looked into the Bavli today. Maybe actually Yerushalmi holds ksuva is deraisa, because look at the next Gemara. I don't think so. We couldn't catch out of it. But here it says, Rabbi Lezer Shaw, Rabbi Lezer's question. Benos anusa mau shielem b'tnai k'suva. This is a fascinating question. When a woman is raped, she doesn't have a k'suva. Because, not because she doesn't deserve a k'suva, but because the knas is instead of the k'suva. So the knas the father gets immediately is instead of the k'suva. And even the Rabban, she doesn't have a k'suva, because the way Rabbanan, the reason why Rabbanan made a ksuva is shalote kala bein of lotzia, right? That it shouldn't be easy, if there's a deterrent, that it shouldn't be easy to divorce your wife. But an ones is not allowed to divorce his wife anyway, so he doesn't need a deterrent. It's a lot. If he divorces his wife, we're going to flog him. So therefore, in the chad deterrent gadol mizeh, it would be superfluous to add on a ksuva to that. So he doesn't have a ksuva. She doesn't have a ksuva, the victim. So the question is, do her daughters get fed by the husband? Because the halacha is that Rabbonos Nizoinus is part of the Tanai Ksuva, right? But non nukvan di heavy lechom min yevi lech minoi, you have you on mitzan on min chosai, viyasim mebesi, I forget the exact language. We don't write into the Ksuva anymore. But it's a Tanai Ksuva. So, Shiloh's when Rabbanan made a takana like that, a Tanai Ksuva, does that apply even if there is no Ksuva? Okay? By the daughter of Anusa, by the woman who's Anusa, there's no Ksuva, does she still have the alukat of a Tanai Ksuva? That's what the Gemara Shiloh is here, okay? So it says, Bnos Harus Nusa Maushi Elohen Ksuva, Elohen Tanai Ksuva. So now, the next Gemara, to Tapachavanav, till the Mishnah is really messed up. And the Ribaz makes him try, coaxes it until he makes it work according to the gears in front of us. But rather than take it, use the Ribaz, I'm going to take the easy way out and go like the Hillel and Ephraim who changes things here. Okay? He says the way it should read is like follows. Pshitali. And he says, really, it should say, from here on in, it's not Rabbi Lezer speaking, it's the Gemara, it should be Pshitale. It's Pasha to Rabbi Lezer. It's now here, it should be instead of Banusa to Lace, it should be Bimafuta. The woman who's seduced, the east, not the lace, the east, labanin dikrin. Even though the knas becomes the ksuva, right? The ksuva is and knas are synonymous. That in of itself suffices to be considered a ksuva, right? So pshitali, good evening. Being engaged is not an excuse to be late.
No, I was in the
right to a dinner. There's certain chassanim who Oh yeah, the certain chassanim who once they become engaged, until they get married, their learning goes into a sharp decline. Some of them never recover from that.
The first line is almost exactly what Byron told me when I got engaged.
Yeah.
Scary. That's why I had to go to a lunch at the yeshiva. I used to give a Rosh Chodesh lunch, hot dogs and beans every month. So he said, you got to get housed up, doesn't excuse you from going to the Rosh Chodesh lunch. That's
Well, tomorrow I have to have dinner.
Okay.
We're
always what, the Rosh Chodesh little lunches?
Yeah.
Okay, so she went on top of Chaf Amrav. You weren't here yesterday either.
Oh,
the opera yesterday. Does she go through the opera?
What?
Does your fiance go through the opera?
Yeah, she works.
Okay.
But I took my daughter yesterday.
No, you went ahead. One back.
Chaf
Amrav. Okay. Subsheetally, now we're reading from the top of the page, but we're going to change around the words a little bit. Sheetally, it's simple to him, to Rabbi Lezer. It says Banusa the Lace, but the Gilan Ephraim changes to Mefuta the East. Okay? Then Mefuta the East, the Banim Dichrin. Now, Mefuta, a woman is seduced before marriage, so she gets her ksuva. Is a contingency. She either gets a ksuva, her ksuva is actually, not a contingency, it's the wrong word I used. Her ksuva is her fine. But the Torah says that if he refuses to marry her, he has to pay a fine to her father. If he agrees to marry her, then the fine reverts to a ksuva, and if and when he divorces her, he has to pay her the ksuva, which is the fine, which was now put at the end of the marriage. So for all intents and purposes, nowadays, we give all women a ksuva, so a woman is seduced before marriage, has no advantage, no real additional payments are beyond any woman who gets a ksuva at the end of a marriage, right? But in the old days, before Takana the Rabbanim ksuva, must be the Yerushalmi holds ksuva the Rabbanim as well, before Takana the Rabbanim ksuva, it was only this woman who was seduced who had this ksuva coming to her at the end of a marriage. But since she has a ksuva coming to her, so therefore she has all of the tanoim of ksuva, all of the parameters which we put into the ksuva itself, even though our ksuva is different than a normal ksuva. For example, she has the isla banin dirvin. She's got the condition which we put into ksuva that if she dies first, before her husband, her children will inherit, her male children will inherit whatever property she has and won't go to her husband's children. And the Gilead Ephraim also takes out the next word, b'mefuta, and he changes the word after that to the east instead of the lace. And the way we read that is the isla bana nukvan. Also, she's got the parameter of ksuva, which we spoke about a few minutes ago, which is that her daughters get fed by her husband. Okay? Now, so Rabbi Lezer only asked the question, Rabbi Lezer's question was that, by Anusa, what's her status? Because Anusa, woman who's raped, does not have a ksuva. So what's her status? So it says the Gemara here, why do you have to, it's obvious that they didn't ask the question by Anusa, because in Tamar Tarveil, because he didn't have an issue by it. Because in Tamar Tarveil and Tzvichola, were he to have had an issue by both of them, Nisho, Benosa Anusa, Benosa Futamau. We should have asked, what's the status with the daughters of a woman who's raped and the daughters of a woman who's seduced. Sheish them with Tanai Ksuva. Do they have Maushish and Ksai Ksuva? Do they get supported? Because that's one of the clauses in the Ksuva. Had he had the issue by both the woman who's raped and the woman who's seduced, he would have asked by both. So it says more, therefore, must be Hein the Tzrichole Karabonin. He asked the question, which he had difficult, which is according to Rabbana, meaning Rabbana holds that Anusa has no ksuva. Woman who's raped has no ksuva because her fine is given to her at the beginning, so she gets nothing at the end. So then, according to them, according to Rabbana, he has a question, Taka, does she have all the benefits of the conditions which he writes to the ksuva, even though she doesn't get an actual ksuva? So, Hein de Pshitale, however, he would not have this such question. In other words, it would be simple to him, the answer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda worried to learn like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ha'ones Nosin, Ksuva Smona. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even in a case of rape, there's a ksuva of $100. So that ksuva, which is, if once there's a ksuva, so all the conditions we peg into a ksuva are automatically attached to that ksuva. According to Rabbi Lezer, he would never have asked this question, Rabbi Lezer. Lezer's asked this question simply according to Rabbanan, who holds that there is no ksuva for a rape victim. So even then, the question is only on a rape victim, not on a woman who's seduced. Because a woman who's seduced, it's true her ksuva is different than our ksuva. And that regular ksuva is a takana de Rabbanan, whereas her ksuva is the removal of the potential fine which she had at the beginning of the marriage and placing it when the marriage, if and when the marriage terminates. But nonetheless, that's considered to be a sufficient ksuva to peg all the conditions normally attached to a ksuva to it, right? The question is, what about a woman who's a anusa? Does she have a t'nai ksuva? And we never really answered the question. We just left it dangling. We don't know if she does or does not. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Ketzer u'shreis abatzitzo. If you raped a woman, how does he drink in his cup? Meaning, afilu yichigeres, even if she's lame, afilu yisuma, even if she's blind, afilu yimukushkin, even if she's a leper. Pick some woman to rape. So nevertheless, he has to say, stay married to her forever. Nimtza bad davar zima, what if you find out, however, that she was a licentious woman, and she was some post that she had some psul, or shen ria v'lev lovavi, so she's not suitable to come to the Jewish nation, eino rashai l'kaimo. He's not allowed to marry her. Shneamar, it says, or not allowed to keep her as a wife. Shneamar, v'lo si elisha, to him she shall be so to a wife. The word lo is superfluous. Well, how do we learn the word lo? Isha, she ruya lo. It's got to be a woman who's suitable for him. Okay, Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, b'shem Rabbi Lakish, b'shem Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, both sin and Rabbi Lakish. Lo yomar v'lo si elisha. It says v'lo si elisha twice in the entire at least twice. It says it once in by Oines, right? By the case of a rape, and it says another time by Motzi Shemra, by a man who was married, who was already married, and he lied and said his wife was not a psula. Then we find him, he has to get flogged, he has to pay $100, and it says there, V'lo si el Yisha, Yisha shall continually be his wife, Lo yuchal l'shachol kol yomav, he can never divorce her. Now there, of course, the concept of Lozi Elisha is very funny, right? The usage is very funny because it's already his wife. Lozi Elisha means she should become his wife, but they're already married, right? That was the whole point. And so that's what we're going to pick up now. And that thing we're going to pick up now. Rabbi Yechiel B'Shem Rishim Eloi said, Lo Yomar V'Lozi Elisha, it should be Bim Motzi Shemra, not Zam Motzi Shemra, but Bim Motzi Shemra. Let it not say that she should be his wife by Motzi Shemra, the person who spoke ill, you know, said not Lashara, it was Motzi Shemra, to claim that his wife was not a psula. Shena tzvarach, it's not a necessary statement. Kfari tachas yado, she's already underneath him. She's already his wife. Umatam lomar v'losi elisha. What is it? So why does it say losi elisha? To mare me'alexera shove mitoresh. Learn it from it, Exavishava, parallel to our case, and to make a drasha. Velosi Elisha, Velosi, this way it says, Velosi Elisha over here, it says, Velosi over there. Ma, Velosi Shinamar Lahalon. Well, just like Velosi, which it says over here by a woman who's an anuso, was his victim. So here, it's talking about Isha Shiruyolo. I'm sorry. Ooh. No, wrong, sorry. It's the other way around. Over there, where the marriage, we're talking about Motzi Shemra. There, we're talking about Isha Ruyalo, because the assumption was the Chup and Kiddusha were done Kedin. It's already post-marriage. So therefore, our assumption is that was a proper marriage, right? So just like over there, talking about after a proper marriage, right? The Rav checked up, she was suitable level of the call, everything was okay. And then afterwards, things went awry, but the marriage was proper. Losia Shanem, our consul to Losia, which it says over here, said you must marry the woman after you raped her. So it's also only if it's an Isha Ruyalo, right? So if that's the case, Imal Halan Isha Ruyalo, Mishalim Knas. So maybe I'll say, Imal Halan Isha Ruyalo, Yimalan Yisraelo Mishlan Knas. If over here it's the Motzi the Motzi Shemra. There's only a knas by Isha Ruyalo, right? Because we're talking about a case where he married a woman which is suitable for him. And in that case, he has to pay the father $100 for having said bad things about his wife, right? So also over here, Nomar, right? Aflosi Elisha Shenemar Khan, Isha Ruyalo Mashalim Knas. Maybe also over here, the only time you pay a fine for having raped a girl is if she was suitable for you. But if you took a girl who was not suitable for you, so maybe, in fact, not only are you exempt from marrying her, maybe you're exempt from the fine. Maybe you don't even pay for it. So it says, Amara, Rabbi Zira, Ula, B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, B'Shem Eleazar said, Lo Yomar V'lo Siyeh B'Motzi Shemra. No. The way we learn is like this. It didn't have to say V'lo Siyeh that she should be his wife B'Motzi Shemra. Shena Tzarech. That, because not necessary. Should cry it down. She's already with him. Matam lo velosi Elisha. Why does it say that she should be for she? He will be for her. She will be for him a wife. Malame men l'xer shava midrasha. So he dashes there shava. Velosia velosia. The losia over there and losia over here. Ma losia shenem alal. Just like losia, which is mentioned subsequently by the person who raped Giresh, if he divorced Omrim lo Omer lo Shiachzir, right? We say by Motzi Shema, sorry, if he divorced we say take her back, right? Because obviously that's the import of Losi Elisha. If you divorce her, take her back. Af Losi Amur Khan, so to the Losia which is mentioned over here by a case where you raped a girl Giresh, if you divorced her Omer lo Shiachzir, we say take it back. So the bottom line is We could have learned that it has to be a proper wife from Xer Shava Motzi Shemra. But the flaw in that ointment would have been that if we would have learned it from Motzi Shemra, we would have also assumed that you only pay the knas, you only pay the fine of whatever money you find when the woman is a potential marriage mate, which is suitable to be married to. And this we do not want to say, because we want to have him paying the fine regardless of whether he can marry this woman or not. And in fact, therefore, in our mission, we learned that Isha Ruyalo has got to be a woman who's suitable for him to marry from the word lo internally. Because it says lo, Siyeli Isha, right? And that word teaches us that the extra word lo to him teaches us that it'd be a woman who's suitable for him. And we don't extrapolate from anywhere else in determining what the levels of payment are. Since we don't have to extrapolate from the Gzeir Shava this issue, so we do not. What do we extrapolate from the Gzeir Shava, from the parallel? We extrapolate that if you did divorce her, we don't say, B'di'evet, okay, she's divorced, what can you do? But rather, if you divorce her, we tell you to take her back. Okay? Now, Echad Ones, V'Echad Motzi Shema, Shagir, Tanu Rechia said, Echad Ones, V'Echad Motzi Shema, regardless of whether it's a case of rape or a case where he said bad things about his wife, Shagirshu, if they divorce, Kleven Osalachzir, and make him take her back. But what about Imayu Kohanim? Right, a Kohen who divorces is allowed to take his wife back? Kohen who divorced?
Oh, no.
He's not allowed to take her back. So what do we do to him? We flog him. Imayu Kohanim, something that's our boy, we flog him because he can't take her back.
Right?
Period. Now here it says Kohada Detani, and Ribaz tries to make it work it out. But if you see the length of the Ribaz, it's not really worth it. So it's just the other Achronim change it to Tani. Tani means that this is a new statement. Okay, it's not a continuation, it's a new statement. Tani. Bulas Baal. It says that if the halacha is that a woman is a Nara Basula. She's under 12 and a half, she's a Basula. And if somebody and she's murasa, she's afiyat, she's very betrothed. So somebody has relations with her is chayv what? Nara murasa.
She has to marry her.
No, she's already made betrothed to somebody.
Oh, she's already betrothed.
So what? Oh. What penalty does the guy get? What death?
Death.
Which death? We got four kinds.
Not
skilo. Skilo. He had stone. However, the moment she gets married, it goes down to chenek, goes down to suffocation, goes down three notches. So while she's still betrothed, only kiddushin, it's chaskila. The moment she goes there, the moment she goes down three notches, the moment she gets married, mm-hmm. she goes down three notches. The chenek, she used goods already. So the shaila is, what happens if she has if she hasn't yet had any suin, she hasn't yet gotten married, but she had relations already. She already had relations. So what's the status of the next guy with her?
She's not kiddushin or anything.
She had kiddushin.
Yeah, but
not nisuin. Yeah. But in me, that's what we're supposed to discuss.
Okay.
So tani pulas ba'al lohavis emakabelas ba'al lohavibes avia. If she had relations with her husband while before she was actually had nisuin, she was still just betrothed, right?
Okay.
But she had relations with her husband via rusa, and even though she's still in arusa, she's still technically only kiddusha, not nisuin. Habo'ach rabbechenek. The next guy to have relations with her,
yeah.
no, who's not her husband, only gets chenek. He only gets suffocated. He doesn't get to actually skila. Philosoph tovar ki kitarka. Now here says a very interesting distinction. Actually, I don't remember this. I didn't see this in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Philosoph tovar. It's not just kitarka. If he has relations with her kitarka, her husband has relations with her kitarka. Even if it's not in normal fashion. So technically, you can still hold she's a basula. But nonetheless, she already has a shame. She's entered the classification of a bulas bal, right? Because they had relations, even if it's not in normal fashion.
A bulas
bal, woman who was husbanded already. So therefore, there's no skill on that case, right? Rabbi Vovashev Yochum said, lachain tzricha. For this purpose, we need this pasuk for shalok kedarka. Why is this? Because it says here afilu, but should really be in the carbonator changes it. Because in tema, if you're gonna say in tema is like im tomer, if you're gonna say mikedarka, that's talking about the having a religious normal fashion. Lomali bala, why her husband? Afilu is the word missing. It should be afilu acher, even somebody else. In other words, if Bula's Baal is just trying to tell us that after she had relations, she's no longer, it's the second time around, the second guy to be Mizana with her, to have illicit relations, her only gets chenek, only gets suffocated, for that, the Pasuk deserves no Yasha Koyach. That's Pasuk. She's not a Basula anymore, right? The Chiddush of the Pasuk says Rabbi Yochum must be a case where it was Bia Shaloka Darka, where it was a different way, different manner of Bia. And therefore she still remains a psula. And the chiddush is that even in that case, the next guy to come along only gets chenek. Now this, however, is only true about her husband. That's what the Gemara is about to say. If her husband has relations with her shaloka darka, then the next guy to come and be mizana with her gets chenek. But if somebody else has relations with her shaloka darka, right, then the next guy to come after him gets still skila. Because the unique thing that she's downgraded by having had relations with her husband, with her fiance, right? So says the Gemara. Normally, could the yeah, like you learned over there. Boleh, this is brought down the Bible. Boleh, Shnai, two guys had relations with her. Two far strangers, not her husband, right? Harisha Meskila, first guy gets stoned. Vasheni Bechenik. Right, the second guy gets chenek, because even though the first guy was her husband, but he downgraded her from skila to chenek, because she's no longer basula. Right? Naramurasa, now the cases get fun. Naramurasa, a woman who's affianced, or betrothed, actually is the right word. Bola sarshalokadarka. 10 guys have relations with her in the improper way, right? Vachakadarka, the last guy, or the 11th guy, has it the proper way. Kulam biskila. They're all 10 get all then get stoned. All of them, because she never became, she remained the psula after each one, yeah. And none of them was her husband, yeah. That we should give her the technical status of bulas bal, right, that she's been husbanded already. So therefore, they all get skila, because they're all having relations with a girl who's a psula, who's betrothed. So says the Gemara, however, of course, it is all the brisa, actually, kulav kidarka. If they all had relations with the normal way, then Arishon Beskila, first guy gets Skila, right? Because he obviously was the one to make the difference. He wanted to have relations with the Psula. Vashar, the next nine guys, so they only had relations with the woman who's already Bula, and already was no longer Psula. So therefore they get Chenek, they get only suffocation. Now, same idea. Heruba Sarbani Adam is really a partial bio, one which doesn't break the psulim, right? So Heruba Sarbani Adam, Tempila partial bio with her. Vecha Gamar Sabia, and one of them completed the bio. Kula Biskila, they all get Skila, right? Every one of them. Because nobody broke the psulim, so she's still a psula, right? Kula Gamar Sabia, but if they all completed the bio. So Rishon Biskila, first guy, he broke the psulim, he gets Skila. Vashar Bechenik and the rest of the other nine, all they get is suffocation. We let them off the hook easy. Okay? Now, of course, it goes without saying that till now we're talking about women who are betrothed. They're already quasi-married. What about a woman who's a pnuya? A woman who's still single. A pnuya, ba'al asar shlo kadarka, tempilar relations with her, not in the proper way. Vecha kadarka, and one in the proper way. Kulan biknas, they all have to pay the money to the father, because to each one the father says, "Hey, you raped my daughter who's still a psula," because they all had relations shelo kadarka. So actually, this would be a very profitable venture. The father would have a lot of get a lot of knas that way, right? Rishon biknas, however, kulan bikadarka, if they all had relations in the normal way, so Rishon biknas, the first guy pays knas. Why? Because obviously, he's the one who made her no longer psula. But Ashar Patzer, the rest of the guys, they're Patzer because they're no longer having relations with the psula, and you only pay money if you rape a psula, not if you rape a woman who's already, Beula already had relations. Bir Loachamem, now here's a fascinating part of this Gemara, really fascinating. I'm going to learn this like Bnei Moshe, because Bnei has a totally different way of learning it. But Bnei Moshe says, what's the loch of a guy rapes a girl? He's got to marry her, right? Yeah. So here she's got 10 choices.
I thought you only have to marry her if she's under a home.
She's under 12 and a half, yeah. So here she's got 10 choices, right? Because they all are candidates to marry her because they all had relationships with her when she's a psula. Right. So what's their status? So Birlo Echemem, she says, Daddy, I want this one. Niftru Kulam Milosa said, then all the rest of them are exempt from the lab. Of lo yichal shachol kol yomav, they've all been left off the hook. They don't have to marry her, nor they transgress the prohibition and they divorce her. Yeah, that's what it says here.
I know that's what it says.
This I also remember from the Bible. Yeah, she didn't do enough research today. What? Yeah, she gets to choose. What would you say?
I don't know. I would say the first one.
Why? But they're all paying knas.
I understand.
It's just Baal Batish, by the way, right?
It just seems like the most logical. It's like,
no, I think it's much more logical to say she gets to choose.
It's
to her advantage.
Yes, to her. So
she suffered enough. But she beer lo echemem. She chose one of them. Niftu kulam milosa say. However, the thing is, they're not off the hook forever. Amra, it should be Efshar, not Efshar. It should be Efshar. Said, you know what, Daddy? Changed my mind. I don't like this one. I want another one. So the other guy is stuck. Boreres v'choseres u'boreres. She can change him, choose, and change her mind and choose another guy. So it's all right. Right?
I guess so.
What?
I guess so.
So therefore, they're not, none of them are completely off the hook until she makes her final choice and actually marries one of them. Now, let's say one of them, the guy who raped her was already married to her sister, right? And of course he can't marry her, right? So Kfar Niftar, then he's off the hook. This is a very interesting dispensation. A guy raped his sister-in-law, so see, there's no kai. He can't say Lo Yishchol L'Shalcha about him. Why? Because he's not allowed to marry her. So he's tack off the hook. He doesn't, the lab doesn't apply to him. How, and what happens even if his own wife, Mesa, dies afterwards, in which case now she can marry the victim, right? Because she can't marry the victim as long as his own wife is alive. But once his own wife dies, so let him marry the victim. Now we say Kfar Niftar. You're ready, he's off the hook. Once he's off the hook, at the time of the rape, since he wasn't a chayv marrier, you can't, that chayv does not devolve upon him later on. Unlike the 10 first guys, right? There, each one was had the potential to be chayv. We're waiting for to choose which one. So then they, each one can be chayv in turn. But here in this case, at the time of the rape, he had no possibility of being chayv because he was married to the woman's sister. So therefore, he remains exempt from this chayv for all time. Now, Mace, what if the it's a very interesting case. What happens if again the Korban learns this case differently, but I'm learning like Pei Moshe. The guy Taka married her. You know, the guy who raped her married her. But then he died.
Oh.
He died. So that, and she's childless.
Right.
So there should be a lach of Yibum, right?
Right.
Mace Inkov is Yovam. We do not make the Yovam be Miyabe. In other words, we make the husband marry her because it says Lo Siel Isha, right? But the Yovam doesn't have, and he's not allowed to ever divorce her. But the Yovam doesn't fall that obligation. You might say the Yovam, the Chiyuv of the mitzvah of Lo Siel Isha, that he must be married to her, and the Lo Yuchel Shachu Kol Yovam, you can't ever divorce her, transfers from the dead husband to his brother. Just like the marriage itself transfers, the potential marriage itself transfers, it doesn't. And the brother can actually has the right to the brother has the right to refuse to be miyabimer. Okay, you say machine sarsa. Okay, a girl who was betrothed, and this gosh then was divorced, and then was raped. Her blessed mer own is chayev. If somebody seduces, somebody rapes her, they're chayev to pay. I'm a fata, but rapes her, chayev to pay. Somebody seduces her, mafata. If it's consensual, pottery is exempt from paying. Which makes sense, but tomorrow's going to attack it nonetheless with great severity. Am Rabbi Yochanan said, I said Rabbi Lezer b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo. Rabbi Lezer goes like Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi. How so? Kemar Rabbi Akiva Amar Yesh Lo Knas. Rabbi Akiva says a girl has a knas. A knas alatzma. And her knas comes to herself. Now this is talking about, earlier in the parak we had a case where a girl was betrothed and divorced. Her father has no jurisdiction over her anymore. So Rabbi Akiva holds that she gets a knas, if somebody rapes her, she gets a knas, and her knas goes to herself. Rabbi Yosef Gli holds there's no knas. There's only knas if the father has the right to it. There's no knas which she has the right to. So our mission is going like Rabbi Akiva, right? Kamar Akiva Amar Yesh Lo Knas Lo Knas Lo Knas. Just like Rabbi Akiva says, she's got a Knas goes to herself. Kanam Rabbi Lezer Yesh Lo Knas. The term Lezer says she has a Knas. Knas goes to herself. And that's why there's a dichotomy between Oines, where she gets a Knas because she was raped, and Mefate, seduction. Seduction, you know, after all, she agreed. It's two consenting adults, so therefore what should she get out of it? Now, till now the Gemara is easy. Now the Gemara gets hard. Says the Gemara, Me'ato, and I'm going to learn this more like the Shai Torah says, nobody knows exactly what's going on here, but I'm going to make it, I'm going to try and make it work. Says the Gemara, Me'ato, afilu b'mefuta. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Rabbi Akiva said before that the Knas goes to her. If she was divorced, she was betrothed and divorced, so the Knas goes to her. Who gets the boshes of God? Remember, the three payments. There's knas, the fine, and there's boshes, the embarrassment, the shame, and b'gam, her lesser worth. She's worthless. She can't be married off for the same amount of money. Who gets the boshes of b'gam? So says the Shai Torah, so the premise of our Gemara is that Rabbi Kiva still holds the boshes of b'gam goes to who? The father. The father suffers the embarrassment, and the father loses the capacity to marry off to somebody else, right? or if loses some of his capacity to marry off to somebody else. Remember, after a father marries off a daughter only with kiddushin, and then her husband dies, she can go back, her father can marry off again. The only time the father loses the right to marry off is if she got nisuin. She went all the way. Then her father loses the right. But if she only got erusin and then was divorced, he still has the right to marry off. So therefore, the kiva would hold the boshes pagam go to the father, because he's the one who's losing. It's embarrassment for the family, and the pagam in her kid's capacity to sell it to the next highest bidder. So says more glass meato. I've been futa. Let the boshes pagam go to her father. In Mefuta, in the case of seduction as well. And it sounds like for a mission for Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer says, Onis Chayef, Shalom Fata Potur, that he's Potur in Gansen. He's Potur altogether. It said, Tipotur Shemachalo. So she's, Gemara says, are you using Rabbi Lezer? She was Meichel the Boshim Gansen. She said, she fell so much in love with this man that she was Meichel's. That's my, what? The Eishel had a Meichel Dover Shader Shaloi. How could she be Meichel? It's the father's Boshim Pagam. She has no right to be Michael, the father's Boshim Pagam. But the Rabbi Yisayma. So Rabbi Yirmiyah answers, or whoever gave the answer, it's not clear who gave the answer. Rabbi Yirmiyah, let's say it's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, our mission is talking about a Yisoma, a woman who's an orphaness. The title base of Rabbi Cain, how Yisoma is talking about an orphaness. And she's an orphaness, so therefore, if she potters the guy, he's taco off the hook on all three things. Why is that? Because she has no father who's over her in jurisdiction that the father should get the proceeds of God. Now let's go back to the Mishnah itself. Says the Mishnah quote, there's a quote from Mishnah, Rav Lezmer Onis Chayev on Fata Potter, the rapist is Chayev, the seducer is Potter. Again, B'yesho Dom Moichel Adov Hashem B'shuso. Now here's a very interesting question. It really is a very lumbish question. What does that mean? It means he's Moichel the Knas, right? She's Michael in the Knas. When does the guy become Chayav to pay Knas? When does he become Chayav to pay the fine? That would be the non-trick answer. Obviously, it's a trick answer when asked the question. You give the obvious answer, and obviously the question wasn't a valid question. So when does he become Chayav to pay a fine? Halachically, when do you become Chayav to pay a fine?
When you do damage.
No.
That's
damages.
When you cross the line, whatever you do.
No. When you go to court.
Oh.
That's why I might have a knas potter if somebody gets to court before the aid comes and says, I did it.
Oh, then
he's exempted.
He
doesn't have to pay the knas because the knas only comes high at the time of court.
Yeah,
okay? Now, in the yeshivas, we came up with this idea, which really will be indicated by the Ushami later on, that it really, mikanu lahabo lamafreya. That for the time the court imposed upon you, it works retroactively as well.
Oh.
But the Gemara's premise here is not like that. Gemara's premise is, how could she be Michael it? It's not in play yet.
Right.
You can be Michael something that's in play, but the Knas is not in play. The Knas will only be in play once Bateson imposes it, right? It's right. So says when Nishminim and Adah. And normally Shmini Adam means let's bring an objective proof. But here it means, and I'll prove to you that it's not yet in play. I'm proving the premise of my question. Not resolving the premise, but proving the premise. Which is, the Mara Yibun Barachi B'Shem Rav Zira, Yibun Barachi Sanei Rav Zira, Knas Ein Bo Mishar Rishona. Knas is not liable from the moment of the event. Mishar Rishona means from the moment of the event. Rather, it's from the time of the court case. The Tzianto we learned over there, on the Bidin at Shalom Ezevi, a woman, if the case of a rape, and she comes to court before her father dies, Harein Shalov, then the father inherits the father gets the knas, and Mesav, the father's no longer alive, Harein Shalachim, it goes to the brothers. Now, the Bryce goes on, although the rest of it is not here, the coordinator brings it down. If she was not able to go to court until the father dies, because the father died before they got to court, Harein Shalatma, then she gets to keep the knas herself. So we see here fundamentally what determines the knas, the timing of court. That's why the father's alive at the time of the court case, it either goes to him or his heirs. If the father is no longer alive at the time of the court case, then it goes to her.
So we see that what determines knas? The court. So how could she be meichel when it's not yet hers? Right? It's a very interesting question, right? So says the Gemara, this is continuing again, the premise of the question. If you want to say knas kenu mishor rishona, the knas already devolves from the first moment, harein shalachim mishor rishona, even if the father dies before the court case, it should be already affiliated with him, and even if though he died, it should go to her brothers, not to herself. Yet the Brisa there in that key point, which the Gemara omitted, but the Carbonator brings down, says that if he died before the court case, then at the time of the court case, it goes to her. So we see that the knas does not become, it doesn't go into play until the time of the actual court case. So actually, Meichelit. So Rava b'shem Rav Chista said, "B'boishes subgam hadamas nisa." You're right. She can't be meichel knas. The only thing she can be meichel is boishes subgam. Now, I'm not sure how she can be meichel boishes subgam. It's not her boishes. We just said if there's a father, it's not her boishes subgam. Oh, I see. Sorry, I was babbling. I take that back. It's talking about Pesukam. Remember, there is no father. We established our mission talking about a Yisoyma. She's an orphaness. So she can be Moichel, the Baishas Pesukam. But Knash is not Moichel. And it's interesting thing. The Chasm Sefer says, you know why Knash, she can't be Moichel? Because the whole concept of Knash is for the point that he seduced her. The point of the Knash is on seduction. The fact that you fell in love with him doesn't eliminate the fact that the Torah said, yeah, but for causing you to fall in love with him, that's what he has to pay you for. So therefore, the knas, you really can't be meichel misvara. It's not just technical that you can't be meichel knas because it hasn't yet devolved upon him until they go to court. But it's also theological. The knas is imposed for having seduced her. So therefore, how is it possible to be meichel the knas? That would be oxymoronic to the very concept of the knas itself. That's what the chasm services on the bottom. Okay? So this again, but b'kashi meichel, even though it says in Mishnah that the mefateh is potter, but it's really only potter from b'kashi subgam, not potter from the knas, because she can't be meichel the knas. Now, that's Rabbi Zeira, who says the knas is only later on. Rabbi Mono argues, and therefore the Gilead Ephraim takes out the Dalit here in the Rabbi Mono. He has it as Rabbi Mono. Rabbi Mono, not true. Ma'on is chayav, it says in our Mishnah, and Oines is chayav, ba'koyel. So about knas, bosh, b'gam, all three. Ba'mefat the potter, when it says mefat the potter, min ha'kol, it's from everything. From Knas Bosh Pagam. So he obviously argues, Raymond, and he holds, when does Knas devolve? Immediately. Like I said, with the Yeshiva Shalom this before, Mikan Olaba Ulama Freya. It's true it becomes implemented at the time of the court case. But the antecedent and the root cause is at the time of the actual deed. And therefore she can be Michael. It's Michael all three. Knas Bosh Pagam. Okay? Rabbi Yovin Omar, Rabbi Yovin said, in the name of, it should be Rabbi Shemi, I don't know where the race is missing, but they both put it in. Anyway, puts it in. Rabbi Shemi boy, Rabbi Shemi asked the following. Ma'ura ones chayav, ba'mefata potter. It's really a repetition. What does it mean ones chayav, ba'mefata potter? Does it mean ones chayav, ba'kol? Ba'mefata potter, mina osh, bosis, ba'gam, ba'chayav, b'knas? Is there such a dichotomy? In other words, it's really reiterating what Amona said. Okay, say when it says onus is chayiv, he's chayiv in everything. But the father's potter, it means that he's only potter from Bosh Pagam, but the knas is chayiv because she can't be meichel that, like Rabbi Zira said. How is it possible to make such a distinction? Says the Gemara. Now, the last few lines, the last three lines here, everybody goes crazy on, and the Gilead Ephraim actually just makes wholesale changes in the last three lines in order to make them work out. But I'm going to try and make it work out as written here, and I don't know if it'll work or not, but let's try. this is actually trying to answer Rabbi Simi's question, Rabbi Ami's question, named Rabbi Simi. For Rabbi Akiva, Imera Oines from Fata Potiminako. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says Oines and Fata are Oines and Fata are Potter. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says. You have to read the parentheses. Rabbi Akiva may onus potter mina boshes v'chai b'knas. Rabbi Akiva could say this. Rabbi Akiva should say that the onus is potter from boshes b'gam b'chai b'knas, because that which it says I'm a fata potter mina kol ha'id Rabbi Yosef Glili. That's going on Rabbi Yosef Glili. In other words, we had before, we said at the top of the Amud, Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that there is no knas by there is no knas at all by a girl who has no father. If Rabbi Akiva is the one who says it's even knas by a girl who has no father. So what the Gemara is saying is that we can make such a distinction. We could say that you know what, I want to now I'm thinking out loud. Let me expand a little bit now on what I think the way to read the Gemara is. We had, let me say it outside. First we had Rabbi Zero. Rabbi Zero says the knas only becomes chayiv at the time of going to court. So therefore, I should be moichel the knas. She can't be moichel the knas. Then we add Rabbi Manu, who argues that the knas is immediate, and therefore you can be moichel the knas, right? So now we're going back to Rabbi Zira, and we're asking Rabbi Sima's question. Rabbi Zira is a technical one. He's not asking on the lumdus. He accepts the lumdus that knas only begins at hamoda bedin. And therefore, you can't be moichel knas. He's asking a technical question: how does that work out? The Mishnah doesn't seem to draw a distinction. The Mishnah sounds like there is nothing. Mefatis poter mina kol. So I accept your lumdus, but how am I supposed to read the Mishnah? So he says, I'll tell you how to read the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds anyway. A mefat that doesn't, there, by a case where a girl has no father, there's no knas. So it's not because of the mechila that there's no knas, because you're right, you can't be mechila knas. Alright, we're going to premise Rabbi Zira, there's no mechila knas, because the knas is not yechayev. So our Mishnah, which partners from knas and boshes b'gam, it's taka true, our Mishnah partners from all three. But our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Because Rabbi Yosef Glili will allow to be part of boshes b'gam immediately, because they devolve immediately. And but knas, it's not that she's that's why she's, and she's moichel there. Knas, remember, still not throwing enough information at you. She's with our mission talking about a yisoyma, a girl who's an orphan, right? So everything is up to her. The boshes b'gam would go to her, so she can be moichel the boshes b'gam immediately. What about the knas? Knassi can't be Michael. True, but our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that even though you can't be Michael the Knass, but nonetheless, there is no Knass by a girl who has no father. You'd be right like Rabbi Akiva. Like Rabbi Akiva, if you hold you can't be Michael the Knass, then this Yisoyma would have to get a Knass. It would be necessary to say so. But our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yosef Glili, who holds that nevertheless, despite the fact that theoretically she can't be Michael the Knas, but she's a Simon, she has no Knas anyway, so therefore we could taka works out with Fatas Potter Minakol for two different reasons. One, because she's Michael the Boshes B'gam, the other because she cannot get Knas since she has no father. That works out very nicely. Okay, so the way to read it, the last few lines is, Ha Rabbi Akiva, I Meryl Ines Potter Minak Boshes B'chai B'knas. Rabbi Akiva taka would say, Ones is Potter Mina Boshes and Chayiv and Knas, and that's, well, actually it should be here Mefater. Even according to the way I just read it, should be Mefater is Potter Mina Boshes and Chayiv and Knas. I would have to change that word. Mefater is Potter Mina Boshes and Chayiv and Knas. Mefater Potter Mina Ko. Our mission sounds like Mefater is Potter altogether. Hayid Rabbi Yosef Glili here. That's why Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that it's because of a separate reason that Mefater is Potter from Knas, not because she's Michael, because she cannot, but rather because the halacha is that Yisrael doesn't get one. And we will stop here for today.